Welcome to Covenant's Pulpit Ministry. Covenant Evangelical Free Church believes that the Bible is the Word of God and that God's Word is vital for life-transforming Christianity. We trust that you will grow to know the Word of God and, more importantly, the God of the Word as you hear this message today. May God bless you as you open your heart to His Word.
Good morning. This morning, as we begin the message, let's begin with a fun fact. Okay, many of us know that the Bible has two testaments, the Old Testament and the New Testament. And the New Testament often quotes from the Old Testament. Of course, this makes perfectly sense, makes much sense to us. Because if you're living in the New Testament time, in the time of Jesus, the Apostle Peter, the Apostle Paul, you had only one Bible, and that was the Old Testament. So it makes sense that you would quote from your Bible then. So let me ask you this question. If the New Testament quotes from the Old Testament, which do you think, which verse in the Old Testament is the most quoted verse in the New Testament? Okay, think about it for a while. Don't search Google. Just do it like that. Just think, which is the most quoted Old Testament verse in the New Testament? Okay, now the reality is very broad, too much. So let me cut it down to four. Okay, just to four. And I'm going to show you on the screen now these four. Now, Just choose one. Now, Singaporeans, you say all of the above, right? Cannot, one only. Okay, honor your father and your mother, number one. Number two, you shall not murder. Number three, you shall not commit adultery. And number four, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So just choose one. Okay, not electronically, just by show of hands. Sorry, those of you online, you cannot participate. That's why I come on site. Okay, number one, raise your hands. Number one. Hey, nobody want to honor father, mother. Okay, number two, you shall not commit murder. Also, nobody. Number three, you shall not commit adultery. Also, nobody. Okay, number four, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Wow. Okay, I think covenantals, you are so super smart. You already know the answer. You shall love your neighbor as yourself, which is really surprising. Why? Because the first three actually are the Ten Commandments. And you and I would expect, the Ten Commandments should be the most quoted in the New Testament, but it is not. Instead, the most quoted verse is found in, of all the books, Leviticus. Leviticus, the book that we are doing this year, Leviticus is the most quoted verse in the New Testament. It's Leviticus 19:18, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And this morning, that's exactly what we're going to do. We're going to look at this verse and see what God says about it. So before we carry on, as always, we come before the presence of God. Would you close your eyes, bow your heads? We come and acknowledge our loving Father's presence with us. Our loving Heavenly Father, we are so grateful this morning. We can make this space to be with you, worship you, hear from your Holy Spirit. May your Spirit rest over all of us present now, both on site and online. Let your word remind us that you take great delight in your people and you crown the humble with victory. So Lord, let now your delight rest over us this morning. We humble ourselves before you. Grant us victory in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good morning. Welcome to Covenant's Pulpit. Many of you know in the second half of each year, we enter into a season where we pray for our nation, Singapore. So from 1st of July all the way of 9th of August, there is what is called a 40-day prayer. It's initiated by a movement in Singapore called Love Singapore. And for those of you who are not aware of it, we want to encourage you. Every day on their website, Love Singapore, there is a 40-day prayer devotion with a text from the scripture and someone sharing a short devotion from it, followed by a series of prayer items for specifically our nation. So if you are not following any series, we invite you to join us so that every year, at least for these 40 days, we are praying for our nation. So in line with that covenant, we also have three faith exploits to disciple the generations, to disciple Singapore, and to disciple the nations. So this fits in exactly with what also the Lord has burdened upon our heart to disciple Singapore. So in these 40 days, we will also preach a set of sermons on what does it mean to turn Singapore Godward. And so on the screen now, we share with you the frame that we're going to use. Last Sunday, you heard our senior pastor share on praying for the land, Pastor Kay Kiong. Today we're talking about reaching our neighbors. Next Sunday we're going to talk about loving our community through new life. And then after that, blessing our foreign guests and also impacting our marketplace. So this will be the frame going forward. Now, these messages will be unashamedly all focused on outreach in different sectors of our nation. Now, let me share with you three dangers in a set of messages like this. So the first danger is this. The first danger is that week after week, you'll hear say basically God's heart, the same thing about outreach, outreach, outreach. And after a while, you may be tempted to switch off, zone out, and say, same old lah. So my encouragement is don't zone out. The first is don't zone out because you'll miss God's heart, number one. The second danger of this is when you listen to us share with you, we will direct you into certain areas that you can say, these are opportunities. And after all these messages, you can leave the messages of this series and say, wow, there's so much to do. I don't know where to start. And it may feel like we are guilt-tripping you. So you have to trust our heart. We don't want to guilt-trip anyone. Our encouragement is simply this. As you come each Sunday and you listen, we believe God is among us. The Holy Spirit is speaking to us. Even online right now. Holy Spirit speaking to you, you just be sensitive, Lord, and say, Lord, I'm here, I'm present. Tell me, is there something for me today? You can't do everything, but whatever the Spirit is directing you to do, just do. That's it, okay? The last thing, I know many covenantals we have been reaching and we've been praying for our loved ones, our relatives, our friends, our family members, our colleagues. These are people we really love. But for years now, we pray and it doesn't seem like anything's moving. And quite a bit of us, in talking to you, I sense that sometimes we come to this place of, you feel discouraged. You're not sure whether it's going to move, whether they're going to come to know Jesus. And this series of messages is really to share with you, in the midst of all this apparent no movement, God is at work. I want to share with you many testimonies of God at work to encourage you, to encourage you. So these are the three things in this series of Disciple Singapore. The next slide will show you. Firstly, don't zone out because you miss God's heart. Secondly, you don't need to do everything. What the Holy Spirit directs you in the message, just do, Lord, that's it. And then finally, don't give up because God is mightily at work. With that, allow me to share this morning's message, Discipling Singapore, on reaching our neighbors for Jesus Christ. For that, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about two segments very simply. The first is a text taken from the Old Testament, and the second is a text taken from the New Testament. So we begin with the Old Testament, and of all places, in the book of Leviticus. So in Leviticus 19:18, it tells us how to love our neighbors. Very interesting, isn't it? This whole year, we are preaching through Leviticus, and the most common Old Testament reference is found in Leviticus 19:18. So another fun fact, the word neighbors occurs 12 times in the book of Leviticus. Of these 12 times, 5 of them are concentrated in a segment in Leviticus 19, 9 all the way to 18. So we're going to look at those verses. So on the screen now, allow me to read to you 10 verses. Some of you may find it's a bit long, but just be sensitive to where the Spirit is leading you. And allow me just to read these verses to you. Leviticus 19, beginning from verse 9. When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap your field right to its edge, neither shall you gather the gleanings after the harvest. You shall not strip your vineyard bare, neither shall you gather the fallen grapes of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and for the sojourner. I am the Lord your God. Verse 11, you shall not steal, you shall not deal falsely, you shall not lie to one another, you shall not swear by my name falsely and so profane my name, the name of God. I am the Lord. Verse 13, you shall not oppress your neighbor or rob him. The wages of a hired worker shall not remain with you all night until the morning. You shall not curse the deaf or put a stumbling block before the blind, but you shall fear your God. I am the Lord. Verse 15, you shall do no injustice in court. You shall not be partial to the poor or defer to the great, but in righteousness you shall judge your neighbor. You shall not go around as a slanderer among your people, and you shall not stand up against the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord. You shall not hate your brother in your heart, but you shall reason frankly with your neighbor, lest you incur sin because of him. Verse 18, you shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your own people, but, and here's the verse, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. This is God's word to us. So how do we make sense of this? Let me share with you two interesting things. The first is the word neighbor occurs five times, but it occurs in a whole conglomerate or category of other words. So the next slide will show you. Neighbors is there, but what is neighbors associated with? Look at the words up there. It says the poor, the sojourner, the hired worker, the deaf, the blind, the great, your brother. Sons of your own people. This is very interesting, isn't it? Because often when we use the term neighbor, whether we like it or not, we just associate it geographically with people near us. But as far as God is concerned, it's a whole category of people, you know. What are these people? They are the poor. They are the resident alien. Your employees included inside there. Your brother, your relatives, in other words, are part of this whole idea when God uses the word neighbor. So the first thing we need to understand, neighbor is broader than what you and I think. It's not just geography. It is this whole, as a matter of fact, you know, some people say hampalang, also inside. Everybody falls under this category. That's number one. The second thing we notice about this set of verses is this. A phrase is repeated five times. So again, on the screen, you will show. The phrase is, I'm the Lord, I'm the Lord, I'm the Lord. Five times, God repeated, I'm the Lord, I'm the Lord. In this set of phrases concerning our neighbors, what's the significance? These phrases actually close off a segment about a certain area that God is highlighting for us. So the next slide will show you. From verse 9 to 10, it has to do with being generous, generosity. 11 to 12, the next slide, it has to do with integrity. Don't lie, don't cheat others. The next one, next set of verses, has to do with compassion. Compassion with those who are different from you, the blind, the deaf, be compassionate upon them. The next set has to do with justice. Deal righteously. Don't be partial in your judgment of others. And finally, the last segment, 17 to 18, has to do with forgiveness, relationships, reconciliation. So the first thing we need to know is when loving someone has more to do with certain kind of actions than it has to do with feelings. So if you show the summary slide, it has to do with generosity, integrity, compassion, justice, and forgiveness. So let me combine the two for us now. Combine the two for us. What do I mean by that? So some of us here, not many of us, you have employees with you. And many of you say, yeah, I am not a Hokkien word, tau ke. I'm not the boss. Okay, I'm not the boss. I don't have employees. Okay, that's fine. But some of you here, you are employers. And you have employees. How do we treat them with integrity, generosity, compassion, justice? And when they do wrong, is there forgiveness in our hearts? Number one. The second thing is, now, not many of us may be bosses of big companies, etc. But quite a bit of us will have domestic help at home. They fall under that category, isn't it? Resident alien and hired help. Have you ever considered your domestic helper at home, God considers also your neighbor? If that is the case, how do we treat them with generosity, integrity, compassion, justice? And when they make mistakes, is there forgiveness on our part? I see some students here with us. So let me apply that to, you know, when it says that the deaf and the blind, I don't think it means only that category. It means people who are challenged in some way or other. What about special needs? Special needs, people with special needs. So some of us here, you may have classmates with special needs. Or even here in the TNG, you have children here with special needs. How do we respond to them? They are categorized under neighbor also, you know. So do we avoid them? Eee, like that one. Or is there compassion on our hearts? And say, how can I be helpful to this person? When the person makes a mistake, you know, simply because of what the person is there forgiveness on our part? So friends, this is the first thing I want to share with you. Again, guys, this is not guilt tripping. It's just telling us, hey, these are the people that God sees as our neighbors around us. How do we respond to them? That's number one. Number one. Let me share with you, therefore, a testimony of a covenanter who really reached out to his geographical neighbor. or rather ex-geographical neighbor. So this story is told with permission. His name is Kenneth. So let me share with you his story. A bit long, but again, worth listening to because here's God at work. He says, we moved to a new place in early 2021. So Kenneth shifted from his old HDB flat to another place in the year 2021. He says that happened in the midst of the COVID pandemic. After we shifted, there were many occasions we felt, we didn't have said proper goodbye to one of our ex-neighbors, whose name was Sylvester and Charmaine. So he spoke to his wife, Karen, and together they both felt, we haven't actually said our proper goodbyes to this ex-neighbor. And so they contacted this ex-neighbor and said, hey, can we come over, meet up, and chit-chat? And they did. They acted upon them, went over, and this is what he says. He says, up to that point, we have been high-by neighbors. We were not close by any means, but already they were our closest neighbor. During the meetup that day, quite a bit of our conversation was about God and Christianity. Sylvester and Charmaine knew that Karen and I were Christians as they have observed many pair of shoes outside our home on Friday evening when we were having CG. So guys, watch it. People are watching you. Okay. Both Karen and I could sense Sylvester and Charmaine's hunger to know a deeper purpose in life, and they were open to knowing Jesus. I remember thinking, it's ironic. When we were neighbors for all those years in close proximity, only when we move away, then our friendship became closer. Since that same evening, after I went home, I attended a church gathering of multitudes, Zoom meeting. Since Pastor Kai shared about an upcoming Alpha course, encouraged us to invite our friends who were seeking to join. Though I was doubtful, will Sylvester join? Because 10 sessions, over Zoom. He said, never mind, I just invite him. To my surprise, Sylvester was willing to join. So I told him, I said, I will accompany you for these 10 weeks. Over the weeks and months as we attended the course, our group found a safe place to express their doubts and questions about the Christian worldview and its significance to our lives. Our Alpha group leaders led us in such a way that none of the group members felt that they were preached to. I myself felt excited to be part of this group as I sensed the sincerity of the members seeking and grappling with the issues I once grappled with so many years ago. Totally refreshing to see that something that I've come to assume to be true for all these years is now newly discovered by others. This also prodded me to learn to articulate why I believe in what I believe in. As the Alpha course came to a close, Sylvester felt he was ready to accept Jesus as his Lord. He said the sinner's prayer and committed himself to God. There was much joy. And shortly after that, his wife, Charmaine, also prayed to receive Christ. Let's thank the Lord. They started to attend our CG, and they are journeying with us since then and have gotten to know so many other Christians. So the next picture will show you. Last December, we attended the Marriage Breakthrough Weekend. So that's Kenneth and Karen and Sylvester and Charmaine. I don't know whether you're here, but if you're here, praise God. And this is what Kenneth said. A lesson that I learned from this. If you sense a call in your heart to connect or reconnect with someone, just heed it. It is the Lord leading you. Friends, I share that story because that's exactly what these sessions are to be. This next couple of weeks, that's all we are saying. None of us can do everything, and that's not what God wants us to do. But some of us right now, God is nudging you. The Spirit just nudging you and say, hey, this is for you. Bringing a name, bringing a face, bringing someone to you. That's the Holy Spirit speaking. And God is saying, hey, just do it lah. So I'm going to show you a next slide, which is a QR code for our next Alpha run. This will be in August this year. And those of you that you may want, just take out your phone and scan. This is no guarantee, but at least you have made your effort. You have responded to God's Spirit nudging you. And that's what holiness is, isn't it? Holiness is not just a state of being. Holiness is what God tells you. You're just responding to Him. So that's the first thing that we want to leave with you. How do we love our neighbors very practically? Just like Kenneth, nudged by the Spirit, just do it, Lord, and watch the Lord work. We move on to the second part of this morning's message today, which is, who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? The next screen, who is my neighbor? Now, some of you will say, Pastor, didn't you just tell us from Leviticus 19 8 to 19, who our neighbor is. So let me say two things. The first is, thank you very much for not zoning out and paying attention. You are right. I have actually said that in Leviticus 19. But Jesus gives a spin to this question in the New Testament. And I want to show you his spin to this question. So let's look at the text in the New Testament now, in Luke chapter 10, verse 25 to 37. And this is what God's word says. And behold, a lawyer stood up to put him to the test, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said to this lawyer, What is written in the law? How do you read it? And the law expert answered, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus replied and said to him, You have answered correctly. Do this, you will live. But the law expert, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, But who is my neighbor? So that's the question. Huh? He's asking, Who is my neighbor? Verse 30, Jesus replied, A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. He fell among robbers who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place where he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Huh? But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion, went up to him, bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back. Look at what it says in verse 36. Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? And the expert of the law replied, The one who showed him mercy. And Jesus said to him, You, go and do likewise. You, go and do likewise. There are 2 unexpected things in this story. What's the first unexpected thing? The first unexpected thing was Jesus replied to him. Jesus didn't say, Who is your neighbor? You call yourself an expert of the law? Leviticus 19, 8 to 19, you should know what you're expert. Go and read it, can't tell me. He didn't reply like that. Instead, Jesus shared a story, an unexpected story. The unexpected story of unexpected things, in this sense, those who are supposed, expected to help, never help. Those who are not expected to help actually turned out to help the person. So maybe the modern day analogy, so let me give you a story, and I need to preface this by saying, please don't take offense, this is pure story. It has to do with football. I know tonight is Euro 2024, but it's not Euro 2024. It has to do with, let's say, Man U and Liverpool, purely imaginary. Okay? So I know split inside here, there are Man U and Liverpool fans. After this, don't fight. Okay? So let's say, for example, Man U was having a match with Liverpool, and Man U won. Very unlikely, but okay, current state. But Man U won. And the Liverpool fans, what is this? How on earth can we lose to this, you know, disgruntled? I said, we live in, saw this Man U fan, yeah, cheering there with his Man U t-shirt, and a Hokkien Bui Song. Beat him up, left him to bleeding on the side, and this poor Man U fan was down there, and then they left, okay, so. And then down the steps come the Man U coach. He looked at this man with all the Man U paraphernalia and all the stuff, he walked on the other side. And then after that, come down the stadium, one of the MU star players, look at this man, walk on the other side. And then the last one to come down was a Liverpool player, Mohamed Salah. He looked at this guy, he had compassion on him. He knelt down, he bandaged up his wound, called 911, accompanied him in the ambulance all the way to the A&E, so this UK, discovered that guy got no insurance. He paid for that guy. Wow. Hey, all imaginary. You get to see what I mean? Rivals, you know. Rival groups. The Samaritans. They were rivals to the Jews. You know, they were, again, I'm going to use this term, they were half-breeds. They were neither Jewish, nor were they Gentiles. They were both Jews and Gentiles, intermixed in marriage. Doesn't mean much to us today, and it's fine. But for the Jews, it was a big thing. These people, they were, don't know how to respond to them. They were the rivals, and they fought one another. And this is the first unexpected thing in this story. The second unexpected thing was this. Jesus never answered the question. What is the question? The question is, who's my neighbor? Jesus never replied the question, you know. In verse 36, Jesus is saying, now in this story, who is the neighbor? He never said that. He said, which of these three was a neighbor to this man in need? The question is very different. Do you know that the expert of the law, he couldn't even bring himself to say the word Samaritan. He had to use the one who had mercy on him. Because they are so worlds apart. The one who had mercy on him. And Jesus replied, you're right. Go and be that neighbor. The question is, who is my neighbor? Jesus never replied that question. He said, go and be the neighbor to this person in need. Why is that important? You see, when we say, who is my neighbor? We can scope our responsibilities. We can scope our responsibilities. Leviticus 19:18 tells you, oh, your neighbor basically are the poor, those who are handicapped, those who are your hired help, your relatives even. This is the scope, your neighbor. You can scope it down here. And you can look at it and say, this is neighbors, But as long as I don't stay far, far away from this category, some of us can. We see our neighbors only once a year, right? Chinese New Year. Some of us can. You think about it. Then I don't need to love my neighbor, right? And we can excuse ourselves, subconsciously like that. Jesus takes that and turns it on its head. He says, no, it's not about who's my neighbor defining your scope of responsibility. He says, you are the neighbor. You be that neighbor. You know what is the story of the Good Samaritan about? The story of the Good Samaritan is not just of this parable. It's the story of God. It's the story of your God and my God. You and I, we are enemies. We are rivals to God. We decide we are the king. We don't need this God. We can live our lives by ourselves. You know, we are rivals to Him as the righteous judge and king of this entire universe. He can come and judge us, you know. He can come and punish us. He doesn't do that. That's totally unexpected. Instead, our King comes and we are mortally wounded by sin. Takes upon that sin upon Himself. Absolutely unexpected. Who is our neighbor? Jesus is our neighbor. Our God is our neighbor. That's why Jesus can say, now you go, be a neighbor to someone else. Do you see how unexpected this parable is? This is what God is saying to us. Not so much, hey, who's my neighbor? But all of us, we are neighbors to someone. I'd like to share a story about neighbors again. This is a true story. This is a story of a ministry in Covenant. Started in 2014. It's called Story Builders. Just for interest, how many of you have heard of Story Builders? Can you just raise your hands? As expected, almost nobody. You see, wow, how come you never tell us? That's why today we're repenting, we tell you. It's been in Woodlands for over 10 years and it's doing silently, doing incredible things. So, yeah, it's okay, you can show that picture. So this ministry started 10 years ago by Vincent Chia and asked for a few CGs and they partner with the grassroots. And what they do is very simple. Once a month, they will have a session in the multipurpose hall in surrounding some of these blocks in a Woodland Center. And then they will help the children gain confidence, nothing religious about them, just to help the children gain confidence, build relationships, and by telling stories, doing crafts together. That's why it's called Story Builders. This was so successful that in the year 2020 to 2021 and 22, when it was COVID time, next slide, the children don't want to stop. They say, we want to continue, please continue. And they continue on through Zoom. I'm going to show you some more slides. Okay, the next slide. So this is what they do once a month. This picture is to give you geographical reference, the two story builders that we have in Woodland Center itself. It's block 552, which is on my right to your back, and then 588, which is in front of you near the MRT station to my right also, once a month. 552 has it on the first Friday of each month, and 588 has it on the third Friday of each month. And that's all they do. The CG turns up and they run these relationship building for these children. And I tell you, this is just incredible. Next slide. So you watch what they do. Of course, those in Siam, you know, next slide. Many of these children, because of the relationship, and that's the idea. Love people. Love people. Just be present with them. Here's the testimony of one of the leaders of these story builders, and this is, he involved the CG, and there are many CGs involved in this, but this is what this particular person says. He says, our cell group's love affair with story builders started in 2019. Our cell group leader wanted us and our CG to serve together. He thought it would do us some good, and he was totally right. It turned out that my cell group was filled with closet superheroes waiting for the opportunity to do good. Serving in Story Builders as a cell group gave us the opportunity to spur each other in good works, model what loving our neighbor looks like to our own children, and grow in love and tolerance with one another. Just last week, one of our Story Builders, and he tells this story of one particular story teller, a lady who traveled 1 hour all the way to help the children in learning to tell the story. Her husband and children couldn't make it that night. But guess what? Also, she was pregnant as she came here alone. But her love for the neighbors was so great. Our CG was blessed by her act of service. In that same session, a grandmother told me, "Wow, you all don't stay in Woodlands, yet you come here, tell stories to our children. I heard that one of you even stay in Bedok." And that's correct. This Bedok family has 3 young children below 7 years old. They have served in Story Builder since 2019, for 5 years. Here's what one of the CG members who served in Story Builders commented. She said, Story Builders helps me to serve our neighbors. Without Story Builders as a platform, I don't think I would have the courage or opportunity to reach out to the community. Here are men and women who literally are not geographical neighbors to these blocks here. But they have become neighbors. They have become God's neighbor to these children here. As we mentioned right at the beginning, not everyone can participate in this. But some of you, you actually stay in Admiralty, Sembawang, Marsiling, around this area. And listening to this message, the Spirit may be saying, hey, if these people living outside, they can do that. Maybe I can also participate. Maybe I can participate as well. And again, here's the QR code. Really, I'm just sharing this because these are what God is doing. These are opportunities that God is already moving in our midst for all this time. Today after service, you can go down to the foyer. They have set up a booth. You can ask more questions. Just signing up doesn't mean you're going to go. But at least you find out. At least you find out. And you can be God's neighbor to those around us here at Woodlands Center. I'd like to share that as we come to a close. This is really what we hope these sessions will do. You know, to hear God's heart. God loves people. His delay in coming is because he doesn't want anyone to perish. And he's giving us the opportunity to do so. Not all of us can participate in all of this, but some of us can participate in some of these. And whatever the Spirit's leading you to do, do. I'd like to land this time by sharing the story of reaching out to another neighbor. But this is from a covenanter who shared her testimony during our 3 weeks ago. We had a central prayer and praise, and she shared how for 16 years she's been reaching out to a neighbor who is her closest and dearest neighbor. For 16 years, it's looked like, you know, it's going to be very difficult and nothing's happening, but God did something incredible. This person's neighbor, closest and dearest to her, was her father. Her father. So would you sit back, listen to Lin Chia as she shares her journey.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Lin. Ever since I became a Christian 16 years ago, I used to think it's very hard to convert Dad. Due to his work, Dad was absent most of my growing up years, but he provided for all our physical needs. Relationally, I usually don't have much to say to him. Dad is not the most easy person to live with. He expects things to be done his way, and it makes being around him difficult. I remember there was one time he was hospitalized, and I offered to pray for him. And he said to me, didn't you already pray for me last week, and still I have to go to hospital? You want to pray prayer? I think many would be turned off when they heard such a response. But I prayed and I asked God to help me love my dad. I know I had to love him into the kingdom. And there was one breakthrough weekend. God showed me an inner vow I had. And that was like, I never want to marry someone like my dad. And God then and then convicted my heart that I've judged my dad. And I had to repent and ask God for forgiveness. God gave me a new perspective to see my dad differently. You see, my dad lost his dad at 7 years old. He was the eldest in his family and he had to fend for the family. The family was very poor. He took on several jobs as a teenager to support them. So providing basic needs for his family is his way of love. He didn't know how else to love as a father because he was never loved by his own father. He parented me the way he knew best, and that was to provide for my needs. Because going through a hard life, being in lack, he didn't want his children to lack any physical needs, and we never did. October 2023, I was diagnosed with stage 3 breast cancer. I had a 8 cm tumor on my right breast, and with cancer that's left spread to my lymph node, it was fast growing. I had to start chemo immediately. The day I shared news about my cancer, Dad broke down. He said, 耶稣, 请你把所有的苦痛放在我的身上。 我女儿的命已经很苦了,让我承受吧。 Says Lord Jesus, please let all the pain and suffering be on me and not on my daughter. She has already gone through so much suffering. I'm already so old. Please let me take over. Tears just flowed unceasingly. My dad crying out to Jesus, wanting to take over my cancer. I was so touched by God's love for me. My earthly father wants to take over my physical illness, and how much more my heavenly father who sent Jesus to take over my spiritual sickness. We've been praying for dad to know Jesus for many years and he has been lukewarm. But since my diagnosis, he goes to church every Sunday. He asks the pastors to pray for me. So when the Hello Group in the Chinese congregation was launched last October, I attended with him every Saturday. As long as dad is willing to attend, I will make time for him. He even shaved his head to stand in solidarity with me. And so last year, Christmas Eve, 12 years after that prayer at the hospital, my dad was finally baptized at 79 years old. Praise the Lord! So for those who are praying for your unsaved loved ones, do not give up. In Galatians 6:9, it says, let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. Keep on praying, loving them, making that time for them. With God, all things are possible. All glory to Him.
Friends, some of us feel that way also. We've been praying for the longest time for our loved ones, children, parents. Let's believe God is at work. Let's pray. Father, we enter another season of praying for Singapore. Sometimes we feel like that, Lord. Wow. When, Lord? When will revival fall in our land? But today we are reminded by all these testimonies that in the midst of all that's happening, we can't see, we don't know. You are at work, Lord. You are at work. And you're calling us as your church. Don't give up. I'm at work. I'm at work. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You are at work, turning hearts to you. And today, from your scriptures, from these testimonies, Lord, you remind us to love those around us, to take that one step, just that one step, to to ask a question, to invite, to do an act of love, whatever it may be. Lord, thank you, Lord, for leading us, for speaking to us. So men and women right now, whatever the Holy Spirit has spoken to you, would you, by faith, trusting, God, I will take that small step of faith. I will trust you that you are at work. You're at work. I will do it. Help me, Lord. Help me, Holy Spirit. Would you pray that to the Lord? Would you pray that to the Lord right now? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father, you are alive. Our Lord Jesus is alive. Holy Spirit is at work. Today, you hear all these prayers lifted before you, Lord. We ask by your mercy, turn our families Godward. Turn Singapore Godward. Restore your church, Lord, that people may fall in love with Jesus, that you become real, not just an idea, but you are a living God in our lives, in your churches. Thank you so much, Lord. Thank you so much for hearing these prayers. Answer these prayers are beyond our wildest imagination. In the weeks ahead, Lord, continue to lead us. Continue to lead us that we may truly be a people holy unto Jesus, holy unto you, obedient to you, and bringing great delight to our Heavenly Father. Help us to work as Jesus works, because we trust in Him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Shall we all rise as we close with this song that focuses on Jesus? Focuses on Jesus.
Can we sing from the second verse? Who sees my brokenness? Who sees my brokenness and carries me when I am frail and weak? Jesus, it is you. Who tells the storm to rest and I am overwhelmed and cannot speak? Jesus, it is you. Who wears my guilt on his shoulders? Who holds my heart in his hands? Who takes my thoughts and fears and hangs them on the arms of Calvary? Jesus, it is you. Jesus, it is you. So
you had spent some time listening to God's Word, and we hope that the message has ministered to you. You can visit us at www.cefc.org.sg for more sermon titles. God bless you in your spiritual pilgrimage ahead.